You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Most Christians read the Bible like it's a tale of two cities. You know, we see the Old Testament as the story of Israel, the ethnic, national people of God, and then we see the New Testament as a sudden pivot to the church, the spiritual, multi-ethnic people of God. This leads to a massive question that really has divided churches, and it's even shaped modern geopolitics. Here's the question. Does God have two separate plans for two separate peoples, or has there only ever been one plan? If you grew up with the Left Behind books, or if you've seen the maps of the end times, or maybe you follow some dispensationalist or Zionist YouTubers out there, then you probably believe that Israel and the church are two separate tracks of God's work, like two parallel train tracks that really never merge. But today, as we're talking through this Israel and the church series, we're finally going to explore the historic alternative to dispensationalism. It's what Bible teachers today refer to as covenant theology. And in this framework, there aren't two tracks. There's just one single thread. There aren't two different peoples of God. There's one olive tree. There's one unfolding story of grace. And today we're going to talk about all the details and the thinking behind covenant theology. And we're going to help you to understand how this perspective probably changes the way you view Israel and the church today. Now, covenant theology argues that the Bible is held together by three overarching kind of macro covenants. The first one is called the covenant of redemption. And it's actually an agreement within the Trinity before time even began. You can kind of see where we're going with this. Like, God has a plan A, and he had it in mind even before he spoke the world into existence. The second one is called the covenant of works. And this was the requirement of perfect obedience given to Adam. The third one is the covenant of grace. This is God's promise to save people through a mediator. Obviously, you know, the mediator is Jesus. And here's the way that a dispensationalist would view the new covenant. Covenant, or what a covenant theologian would call the covenant of grace, they would see it as a brand new invention that replaces or pauses the old covenant work with Israel, right? So the idea is that God's dealing with Israel in the Old Testament. He pauses his dealings with Israel to deal with the church and to introduce the new covenant. But someday in the end times, he's going to unpause that work. He's going to kind of close his dealings with the church so that he can go back and deal with the people of God from the Old Testament, Israel, and that's how a dispensationalist would view these covenants. But someone who kind of leans toward covenant theology would probably just simplify the whole thing and just say, no, the covenant of grace is a single growing promise. Covenant theologians look at the history of the church and they see it beginning not at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, but they actually see it beginning in the Garden of Eden and then later in the call of Abraham. Early church fathers like Augustine and then later reformers like John Calvin argued that the church is basically just Israel expanded. In fact, they used the term Israel Day or the Israel of God because they believed that when God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, he wasn't just talking about ethnic Jews, but he was actually talking about referring to the global church. Now, if you paid attention to our episode from last week, you would recognize that this stands in direct opposition to Christian Zionism because if you're a Christian Zionist, you believe that the physical land of Israel and the ethnic nation must be restored as a separate entity for God to fulfill his word, that God's a promise keeper, and he made this literal promise to Abraham and his descendants, and so he's going to keep that promise specifically to ethnic Israel. But covenant theology argues that all the land promises were like shadows of a greater reality. And here's the greater reality. The whole world will be redeemed under the kingship of Jesus. This was God's plan all along. Now, a passage that a covenant theologian would use is Galatians 3, verses 28 and 29. It says this, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." See, in the dispensational framework, there's a tendency to keep a wall between the promises for Israel and the promises for the church. But right here, Paul, who's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, Spirit, he really is tearing down the wall. I mean, think about the wording. He says, you are the true children of Abraham. He's talking to Galatians, Gentiles, non-Jews in modern day Turkey. He's telling them that their status isn't second class. They're not plan B while God's plan A is on hiatus. Because they're in Christ, he's talking about the fact that they've put their faith in Jesus and now they're Christians. Because of this, they're the legal heirs of the promises made in Genesis. See, in covenant theology, Jesus is the true Israel. He's the only one who perfectly kept the law where the nation of Israel in the Old Testament failed. So if you are in Jesus, you inherit everything promised to Israel. The promise hasn't been canceled. It hasn't been postponed for a future millennium. It has been fulfilled and shared with the world. To understand the difference between these two perspectives, maybe it's good to think of the Bible like a seed and a tree. A dispensationalist might look at the seed, Israel, and the tree, the church, and say, these are two different things. Look at them. One is a hard little shell. The other is a giant leafy thing with branches. God dealt with the seed in the Old Testament, and now he's dealing with the tree. One day, maybe he's going to go back and focus on the seed again. But a covenant theologian would say, no, the tree is the seed, fully grown. The church isn't a different species than Israel. The church is what happens when the promise to Israel blooms. This is why we call the church the people of God, in the same way we call the Israelites the people of God. That's that Israel Day concept from the Reformers, the Israel of God. It's not about an ethnic people group. It's about anyone who is a follower of God, who is a son or daughter of God, which happens, we learn from the New Testament, it happens by faith. Think about a contemporary family. If a couple has one biological child and then adopts a few other kids, do they have two families? No, they have one family. The inheritance is equally shared among all the kids. The biological kid doesn't have a separate plan for his life that excludes the others. This is really the beauty of the covenant of grace. It's an adoption story where the family of God just keeps getting bigger, but the father remains the same. Now, let's talk about the pushback for just a second here. A lot of people today, especially in American evangelicalism, find covenant theology uncomfortable because of like maybe what it feels like it's saying about Israel. You might hear someone push back and say, wait a second, God made specific eternal promises to the ethnic people of Israel about a specific piece of dirt in the Middle East. If you say the church is Israel, then aren't you just replacing them? Isn't that replacement theology? Now, we're going to talk about that next time because covenant theology, by the way, isn't replacement theology. Covenant is talking not about replacing the people of God. It's talking about the church fulfilling God's promises, fulfilling that concept of the people of God from the Old Testament. Again, tune in next time if you want to learn a little bit more about replacement theology and how that's really actually a different thing altogether. A covenant theologian will argue that God hasn't tossed aside the Jewish people, but he's invited them along with every other nation and tribe and tongue. He's invited everyone, including the Israelites, into a new covenant that's better than the old one. So covenant theologians are not anti-Israel. They just read their Bibles with a different framework in mind. And so they don't think that Israel has this special place now in God's plan that sets them apart from any other ethnic people group. Now, we don't have time to get into what that means for their eschatology or their perspective on the end times. It's all kind of connected. But basically, most covenant theologians don't take all of the promises or revelation, apocalyptic literature in the book of Revelation. They don't take that as necessarily having to be literal. A lot of covenant theologians are amillennialists or postmillennialists. They don't take all of the imagery and numbers in Revelation as something that has to be literally fulfilled. There are reasons for that. That's for another episode. As it relates to Israel and the church, just know that covenant theology focuses on God's overall plan of redemption and salvation from even before the beginning of the earth. So basically, covenant theology would argue that when you focus too much on a physical, political nation state, you're actually shrinking God's promise. God's plan was never just to save one small strip of land. It was to reclaim the whole planet through a people gathered from every tribe, tongue, and nation. We started by asking if the Bible is one story or two. Covenant theology gives a real simple answer. It's just one story. When you see the Bible through this lens, the Israel and the church tension begins to resolve. You stop looking for secret codes in the news about the Middle East to see what God is doing, and you start looking at the cross. You realize that you're a part of a lineage that includes Abraham and Moses and David and Peter. Their God is your God. Their promises are your promises. You don't have to wait for a future dispensation to see God fulfill his word. He fulfilled it when Jesus said, "It is finished." This thread that a covenant theologian sees throughout the Bible isn't just a theological idea. It's actually a promise of security. If God's plan for Israel was a plan A that could be paused for 2,000 years, then how could you ever be sure he won't pause his plan for you? That's how a covenant theologian would see it. And they would say, if God has one unified, unbreakable covenant of grace, a plan that has never wavered from the garden until today, then you can rest. You're part of an ancient global family. You're a child of the promise. And the God who kept his word to a wandering nomad named Abraham is the same God who is holding your life in his hands today. To talk about covenant theology with your small group or family or mentor, check out the article titled, "What is Covenant Theology?" It's part 4 in the Israel and the Church series at pursuegod.org.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.